Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Burt Show.
It's my favorite segment on The Burt Show when I'm not in the hot seat. So it is my favorite segment this week because Mo is in the hot seat for Plead the Fifth. 5 really uncomfortable questions designed to make him cringe. He could take one of them and go, you know what, I'm just going to plead the fifth on that one, if he's yeller.
Never have, never will.
And Mo, I thought of one coming in. I'm not afraid to say it's from me. I just want to know this. You've talked about recently gambling, or you had a chance to win $5,000 on the Super Bowl.
Womp womp.
So,
I've got to bring that up. Starting the day off with that little.
Tommy, it's Friday.
Starting it with Friday morning.
This is going to be a multi question. The sentence continues, so you got to answer all this stuff.
It counts as 3 questions.
No.
The comma, runners plead the fifth, not plead comma, the fifth or eight.
Nope. It's comma, comma, and. That's what we're going to call plead the fifth today. Comma, comma, and. All right, so when you've gambled, what is the most you've ever won and what is the most you've ever lost, and the quick stories behind each?
Not bad.
Okay, comma, and.
Right? The most I ever won, I really don't know. Probably 10,000.
Whoa. 10,000. What was
How?
That? What was that bet on?
Football.
Yeah.
I hit a parlay once that I think I hit for about $9,000.
What team? Or did the person, was there a certain person that played?
Not the Cowboys.
You can bet on the Cowboys losing.
Yeah, I was about to say.
The year when I used to do teams, I would pick 5 different teams and you got to choose which 5 you think will win. And one time I hit for 2 weeks in a row. You could do it for however many weeks you want. And I hit for 2 weeks in a row.
Wow. Your loss, biggest?
I don't lose. See, when I lose, people think I lost $5,000, but in reality, I lost $50 because it was a $50 buy-in. So I really don't bet that much to lose that much.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? So I really haven't lost probably more than maybe $250.
Yeah, if you missed that part of the show, Mo is part of a pool that he put $50 in the very first week of the NFL. Came down to the very last week, and it was between him and one other person for $5,000. Dude calls Mo up and says, you know what? You take $2,500, I'll take $2,500, and we all go away happy. And Mo said, nah, I'm going to go for the full $5,000.
Grandma told me go big or go home. And I went home.
You went home.
with zero.
Yeah, I did.
I wanted to come in that Monday morning because I made a bet on one of those betting sites that night, and I would have won $10,000.
Shut up.
And it was looking good there for a while, but then the third quarter, it was over.
Yeah, normally how it goes.
Yeah.
All right. If your grandmother changed her opinion about your girlfriend right now, would you reconsider dating your current girl?
Ooh. So something happens between you and your girl. You tell your grandmother about it, and she's like, oh, I thought that was a good woman. She is rotten.
I wouldn't change my opinion. At this point in my life, my grandmother's opinion means a lot to me, but my opinion means a little bit more.
Yeah, and she's also responsible for you losing that cash in the Super Bowl. We can tie these two together.
You probably should ask this question in about a year. I'm still upset about that.
Your grandma's on line 5, and the comment beside her name says, what? All right. Has anyone said something on air that bothered you or offended you?
I think that question can be tweaked to when's the last time?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
When's the last one?
The last time, I don't take them home and write them down. I don't really remember.
Sometimes you can't remember what the person says, but you remember how they made you feel.
No, sincerely, it's exactly that. I don't think anyone has ever bothered or offended is a lot for me. It takes a lot for me to be offended. I don't think I've ever walked away and took it personal. But there's been times when just being black in a room of the only black guy in the room, things are said all the time.
I was about to say, was your response something like, white people.
In my head.
It's probably not so much, I'm not trying to fill your mouth with words, but it's probably not so much offended as it is, they just don't know.
It's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't think anybody's ever done it purposely. Maybe. I don't know. But it's things that's like, ooh, yeah, that I felt that one as a black person.
All right. I think we're on question number three. Which member of the Burt Show?
Wait, what?
Three.
It feels like it's 12. Yeah, it
does. I told you, Comic-Con to get you. Which member of the Burt Show would you least want to change lives with?
Oh, that's so easy.
Oh, Cassie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Cass. Cass going through a few things right now. I'm sorry.
You can eliminate that question from this point forward for anybody until things start turning around in her life.
RV is nice.
As an option.
I'm telling you.
It's nice when it's optional to live in it.
It's like super
I think most
nice.
People will take a house that doesn't have wheels.
Yeah. Think so.
Although my RV has an island and my real kitchen does not.
Is that right?
Yes. Now,
I would think that an RV, it's maybe a bad analogy, is a little bit like a hospital room in that it doesn't matter how big it is. At some point, it starts to feel real small when you're elbow to elbow with your husband and two kids.
It's honestly not that bad, but we have our backyard, so we spend a lot of time outside. It's the storage of stuff. Like, if you notice, I wear the same five outfits because I don't have room for clothes, and there's not a lot of sleeping room. And when you walk, the entire RV bounces. So if you're in bed, all of a sudden you're bouncing up and down and not in the fun way just because someone's walking through the kitchen. Right. But otherwise, honestly, it's not that bad. Did you hear how high-pitched my voice got?
Yeah,
right. That's actually pretty great.
I can't figure out why you hate my house. I have offered it so many times. I'm out of town so much, and I keep offering it to her. I think what I'm doing is I am putting how I would feel about living in an RV on you, and it may be way more acceptable. So I keep begging her, like, I'm going to be out of town. Even if I'm in town, you could be downstairs and have more room. And she's like, nope, anything but that.
No. You've been so kind about it. It's the kids are comfortable in the space that they know, and so it would be going to a new space without their stuff, and then they're going to be more of a handful to manage. And so while the more space would be glorious, and it is so kind of you, it's more work with the kids. Yeah. So I'm like, I'd rather just stay in my tuna can.
Okay, I won't take
but
it personal.
But thank you. Yeah,
all
no,
right,
no.
Mo, you're in the home stretch. Number right. four.
What? This one. Comma, sentence. Period. comma.
What is, the biggest misconception, and you think listeners have about you?
Ooh.
That's a good question. I think it's a few. The one that I think probably stands out the most for me is I think not only listeners, I just think people in general take the fact that I am to myself as I think I'm better than people. I see that a lot.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, I get that all the time. And it's like, nah, I feel safe and comfortable with myself. That's really all it is.
People don't understand that you really are, like, truly an introvert.
Right. Yeah. And I don't think it's just a me thing. I think that's just across the board for introverts. Like, people tend to think that, like, that's why you kind of stay to yourself, or that's why, because your trust issues and all of that keep you to yourself, and they take it as you're just, oh, you want to be apart from the group, or you think you're better than the group, and it's like, nah, it's not that at all. Stop.
Do you guys get that from family?
What's that?
That they think you think you're better than them.
Uh-uh.
Sometimes I feel like I get that.
Yeah.
And they're right.
Is it true?
Question.
Abby.
That's only four.
That's only four.
That's what I'm saying.
It's
brother,
played the 50th.
Comma, all right.
We're 9 minutes into it.
We had a lot of side conversations that sprung off of these amazing questions. last one. Why does marriage scare you more than having kids?
Marriage does not scare me. I think that's another misconception. I don't understand marriage. I don't understand a lot of the concepts of marriage. And I feel like we have gotten away from the true institution of marriage today to where now I'm not so sure that it still has the same meaning that it used to. But I'm not afraid of it.
Thank you, Miss America, for that answer.
Yeah, right. What does that mean, though? It doesn't have the same meaning as it used to.
There's a lot, but I feel like, okay, I'll give you an example. I feel like if I'm going to get married to someone, I want them to want to get married to me, not to just want to be married. So a lot of the times when I hear women say, if you don't marry me, then I'm leaving, then that tells me that you don't want to be married to me.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to be married. I wouldn't get married in a situation like that. I got to know that you want to be married to me. This is a me and you thing. This is a person-to-person thing. This is not just you looking to be married to someone. That's one example.
Okay. All right. Is he now officially done?
Carry on.
Okay.
You sure? No more commas?
No more commas.
All right.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I'm going to give you the heads up that this might be disturbing to listen to because it involves the death of 2 people and a dog, which I know people are important, but the dog thing always hits me in the gut.
Such a bizarre story, man.
So we have some new details regarding actor Gene Hackman's death with his wife and his pet dog.
Some of you that are younger might not know the name, but I'm sure you know his face. Like, if you ever watched Hoosiers, you watch Hoosiers?
No.
Back in the day?
Mm-mm.
You never watched Hoosiers, a basketball movie?
I've never seen it.
Dude, it's one of the top 5 sports movies of all time.
Really?
And Gene Hackman just, I mean, he's won award after award after award, but he's 95 years old, so most of his stuff was done in like the 80s and 90s.
Here's how every millennial, me and younger, will know Gene Hackman. He's the original Willy Wonka.
Oh.
He is?
Yeah.
He was?
Wait, what?
Really?
Yeah, so you see, who's the guy?
You're thinking of Gene Wilder.
That's Gene Wilder.
Yeah, okay, so let's rewind. I only got 8 hours of sleep last night, you guys. I'm kind of tired.
Emery's about to rescind your
Listen,
degree.
Listen, Google was wrong, too, because I just Googled it to double check, and that mofo showed up, all right?
You said it was so much confidence.
I did. I was excited. I was like, I've got the hack. Everyone's going to know it. I'm going to see myself out.
There's nobody more furious than your mistake than Tommy, who just ran in here, who is a nostalgia buff.
No, I'm just sad that one of the leaders of KISS died.
Gene Simmons. What were you going to say, Mom?
I know him from Enemy of the State. Maybe millennials will know him from Enemy of the State. Okay. Yeah.
Even if you don't know who he is, quite honestly, the story is just so bizarre enough that it's almost more true crime than it has anything to do with the celebrity.
That's exactly how it feels. It feels like a true crime novel. So here's what we know so far about the death of Gene Hackman, his wife, and his dog. So a 911 caller, we're assuming this is a maintenance worker because there was maintenance on the location when they were found. 911 was called and they said that they saw Gene Hackman and his wife Betsy lying on the floor through the window. They were in 2 different locations though. The body of Betsy showed obvious signs of death, body decomposition, bloating in her face, and mummification in both her hands and her feet. And authorities think this is because she was found next to a space heater. So they think that sped up the mummification process.
Okay, let me stop for 1 second just there on that clue right there, okay? Mm-hmm. So yesterday we were wondering, I wonder if this is carbon monoxide poisoning because you have the dog passed away. And then I saw online that maybe it was the fumes from the space heater. I have a space heater, and now they are designed, unless this one is from 1950, yeah, that when they fall, they shut off immediately.
Oh, wow.
So no chemicals are coming out of that thing. So I think we could probably eliminate that.
Authorities are also saying there was no signs of carbon monoxide poisoning. So if that's what you thought when you first heard that these 3 were found dead in their home and like, oh, it must be carbon monoxide poisoning, authorities are saying that is not the case here. So Gene Hackman's body was found on the ground near the kitchen. He was found near a walking cane and sunglasses that were next to his body. The deputies on site said that they suspected that he had suddenly fallen. And what's really weird is what happened in the bathroom of their home, because that's where their dog and his wife, Betsy, were found. So Betsy was found in the bathroom next to the space heater with pills scattered across the floor. Her dog, her German Shepherd, was also found dead in the bathroom, and he or she was found in a crate. There were 2 other dogs found on the property, perfectly fine, perfectly healthy. The couple apparently had been deceased for quite a while. Apparently maintenance workers had not been in contact with them for about 2 weeks. And of course their bodies had begun decomposing and mummifying. So they believe that they could have been dead for a really, really long time.
So you know what? I don't know. I don't have any experience in this area whatsoever, but is it possible that they all ate something that was poisonous? Betsy, they fed it to the dog?
Well, no, the dog died probably because of starvation because it was in the crate. So the dog is in the crate in the bathroom.
Okay. Uh-huh. I heard it was in a closet. I didn't realize it was a crate.
No, it's in a crate. A lot of people are saying closet, but police, according to this report that I'm reading, said that it was a crate in the bathroom. So the dog and Betsy are in the bathroom. Betsy's on the floor next to scattered pills, a space heater, her body's decomposing, and then the dog was found dead in the crate, probably because of starvation.
That is sad.
So bizarre, man.
It's so bizarre. And so people are now coming up with all these theories as to, like, how could they be dead but in different parts of the house? Was there... Mm-hmm. It's so strange. And thank God two of their other dogs are totally fine. But I think that further proves the fact that, like, this wasn't carbon monoxide. There's no kind of fume situation. It must have been something they ingested. Or is it possible that maybe this was a targeted attack somehow? But there was no signs of blunt force trauma or anything. That's what's so weird.
Yeah, and toxicology reports and stuff like that won't come out for another month. I have never been able to figure out why they take so long with everything else. You seem to get results so quickly now, but it'll be another month before we even know what was in their systems.
Yeah, so we'll update you in April or March about what's going on with them, hopefully.
So bizarre.
So weird. Well, a video of Hailey Bieber is going viral after she told a fan she didn't like it when other people put her hands on her. I'll tell you all about it and why you shouldn't cancel her on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Kristen is out today. Every now and then, we have just one random day every Friday where somebody takes it off so they can have a four-day work week, and this is her week this week. What great timing after Burt's big adventure. She's exhausted.
She picked a great week.
And we all wanted this Friday, right? Yeah. So anyway, my therapist gave me this homework assignment that worked flawlessly, and now my ego is in a complete and total panic about it. So let me try to explain. So what we're really working on in therapy right now is, I've told you guys before, I don't do anything that doesn't have a grade attached to it or a finish line or some kind of success attached to it. I don't have any hobbies. And for the longest time, my hobby would probably have been working out, but it certainly wasn't back in the day for health reasons. It was for vanity reasons. You know, I wanted an ab. Okay, that's like,
just one.
I wanted one ab.
A singular ab.
Yeah, just ab.
Is that too much for a guy to ask? I want an ab. You know, so when I take my shirt off, it would look good. It was vanity. And again, it's sort of that adulation from other people. And this has been my entire life. So in therapy, we are really working on me finding something, some value in myself that isn't attached to any kind of success or a grade or ratings or anything like that at all, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I think when you get into an industry like this, you have a certain amount of ego and you want to be heard, right? Every single day we are rated. We see it, we feel it. So it works out perfectly for my kind of personality, you know, that doesn't have a hobby, that is so success-based.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things we were going to start working on, and one place she decided that we could start chipping away at this and experimenting, was online with Instagram, with TikTok. Because really, at the end of the day, what is Instagram?
An app.
It's an app, but for what?
For you to showcase your life?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And for us to get likes.
Validation.
True. Validation. Oh, yeah. Isn't it for validation?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Right? Look at me.
Right. Yeah. So she was suggesting that I check Instagram less, instead of being sort of obsessed with answering all of the comments that come in and checking to see how many likes is the content that I'm putting up, what people want. Do it for fun. That's weird.
It is. That is a weird request.
And she suggested it for TikTok also, right? Start an account that doesn't have anything attached to Burt Show Burt, and you could just have fun with it. So told you guys a couple of weeks ago when I got on TikTok, and I have mostly been a voyeur on TikTok than anything else. I love the content. I kind of feel like it is part of our job to know what's going on TikTok. So I am on it. I just had never posted. But on this particular day with my assignment, I found World Talk and Euro Talk, and people were starting to exchange ideas about their different countries and their opinions about their countries and what they're doing right. And then you'd have some United States influencers that were starting to get in on it also. And this is right down my alley here because I love to travel so much and I love to learn about different cultures outside the United States. So I told you guys a couple of weeks ago, I'm so into this thing. I'm going to start posting about the United States, telling them what's going on in this country, and they could tell me what's going on in their country, what's better about theirs, what's better about ours, and we'll start to exchange some ideas. Huh. Well, after about 4 days, not only was the rest of the world really kind of crapping on America, which I don't like very much at all. It's okay for us to crap on our own country, but outside of here, when you start crapping on us, I was getting offended by it.
That's fair.
And secondly, quite honestly, if I have to be 100, as I'm starting to post now and I'm looking at the numbers, none of my stuff is gaining any traction at all, which is not what this is supposed to be about. But it drove me crazy that I stopped posting after 4 days.
But why? Because I feel like you almost can't post anything on social media without the comments and the people turning it into something stressful for you. So to be at the place where you are posting and you don't have an audience yet that's coming to attack you for almost anything you post, it seems like that would actually be healthy.
It wasn't even so much attacking. It was just the, again, here I am, success-based. It was the pure numbers. So,
got you.
You know, on the first day, maybe like 3 people responded to it and I got 3 followers. Then maybe on the next day, I got 2. Right? And it wasn't going fast enough for my success-based mind. It wasn't even the comments that I just gave up on it. I'm like, if people aren't following me, then this is not something I want to do.
Got you.
I think it's interesting that even with this homework assignment, you still chose to do something that would require you to perform. Like, you're going to put the camera in front of your face and you're going to put out that video. Whereas, why couldn't this challenge maybe have been an exercise in just commenting on 10 videos a day, interacting with 10 different people on other people's world talks? So then that way you don't have to feel like this hobby has some kind of like measurement attached to it. It can just be you creating connections with other people who are creating videos.
I didn't even think of that. Again, here is me battling this ego and my same routine over and over and over again that never even dawned on me. What made sense to me and the way that my circuitry is perform in some way. So this is what I got to start getting away from.
I don't know if this would help maybe if you shifted your perspective, because like I don't like to not be good at something.
Right.
So it's hard to start something. Yes. Right. But if you learn to actually find joy in the progression of it, you may only get 3 likes today, but then you see yourself get 6, then you see yourself get 12, and then you kind of find joy, and maybe it's not where I want it to be yet, but building it to that can also be just as gratifying.
And as a guy that coaches people on their podcast, the words you're using are the exact words I use on them. Like, take it easy, be patient. But still, that's not the assignment. The assignment is more of what Abby is suggesting, where it shouldn't matter how many people are following me, right? So the TikTok experiment goes away. And I decide I'm just going to detox from Instagram for a week, week and a half, and not post. I normally like to post every day just to keep the algorithm up. People are connecting. So I decide I'm just not going to connect for a week, week and a half. So I don't. Even at Burt's Big Adventure, all I was doing was sharing everybody else's stuff on my stories, right? So when we get back from Burt's Big Adventure, I start posting again. And I used to get 2,300, 2,500, 3,000 likes. And now the Instagram is mad at me, so they're punishing me because I haven't been on in a week and a half. So now my posts are like getting 200 likes, 250.
Yeah.
I can't live with it. It's hurting me so much. I can't live with it. So the assignment that she gave me worked. Like, just put stuff up that is just stuff that you want to share in your life and forget about the comments and forget about the likes. And it worked flawlessly. And I am in a panic now that I am totally and completely irrelevant.
It's tough because we don't live in a vacuum. I think it would be nice to think like, oh, I'm just going to put this out. It doesn't matter. But like, we are going to be perceived by other people. And I think when you put something out and you only get 200 likes, you're going to be like, oh, do people not care about me anymore? Like, that's what you see when you look at Instagram.
And that's exactly what we're trying to get away from, is it shouldn't matter to me if it gets 12 likes, if it gets 20,000 likes. This is based on what I am sharing. And I got to be honest with you guys, even at this age, when I completely thought that I would stop learning things about myself, that it is a real struggle with ego not to get that outside adulation.
Well, I don't think it's just ego either. So popularity, which is what Instagram likes are, there's a biological component to that. Because back in the day when we were cavemen, the people who were popular inside the cave, inside the tribe, were the ones who survived. And the outliers were the ones who did not. Somebody stab you in the back or take you out. So getting that popularity or the likes is a sense of security and safeness within our society. So it's more than just ego. Like, you're literally fighting against a biological drive to be accepted because that means safety and security, especially as someone whose entire career is essentially built on people liking you because they want to listen to you. So you're trying to turn your back on that all at once. Like, there's no way. And you're coming to a platform that literally is built for popularity and for that exact reason. It's like putting a food addict in front of a buffet. Do you know what I mean? Like, You're not going to win. There's just no way to win in that atmosphere, in that environment.
I know this must sound very foolish to some of you guys that are listening right now that don't have this kind of personality or do this for a living, but I am trying to figure out what hobby I can get into that would strictly be for me, to where I don't need to be good at it every single day or progress and just do something strictly for fun. Do you guys have anything like that?
Mike, Cassie and I suggest reading A Court of Thorns and Roses. getting into the fairy books.
I do. I have photography. Like, for me, that's a side passion that I really like. And then I just, my husband got me a guitar probably 7 years ago now. And I really haven't ever played it. And I just picked it up again to start learning how to play guitar.
So based on photography, just for a second, mm-hmm. if I started taking pictures, my mind would develop into, okay, I need to be so good to where I can sell these and make money off of it. But rather than just take the pictures for the sake of it being like a hobby and being something that I just enjoy doing.
But I don't think challenging yourself is bad, because I have that same mentality. Like, I want the shot. I want the shot that looks like it could hang at the Smithsonian or be in a coffee table book. It doesn't mean you have to sell them. I think it's okay in your hobby to challenge yourself to be the best that you can be. And having that, like, that litmus test, that line being like, is this good enough to sell? Great. You just don't have to take the step to sell them.
I get exactly what you're saying, because I'm the same way as well. Like, I just started trying to teach myself how to play piano 2 days ago, because I've always wanted to play an instrument, and I'm 2 days in looking up Beethoven. Like, what is I'm so impatient. I want to get good already, but you got to find joy in the progress.
For me, I love to bake, and the reward in that is getting a little sweet treat at the end. So, okay. I mean, I guess that's kind of progress.
I'm going to need to see evidence of this. Could you please bring it in studio?
There will be some on Monday.
So in your case, if it was baking, then my first thought is I need to be so good that I need to put together a book of recipes. And in yours, it would be, look, I'm learning how to play the piano. I should be playing Wembley by Saturday.
Maybe you need a Xanax, not a hobby.
Don't think I haven't had thoughts about doubling up on the meds lately.
The Burt Show.
I think everybody at some point when, like, you decide you're going to go for a lifestyle change, like a diet or something like that, that you have a weight loss wake-up moment, or in some cases it's a workout wake-up moment where you're not nearly as in good a shape as you think you are, and it's time to make a change.
I definitely had that moment over our Burt's Big Adventure trip. And
so did I, man.
Man, I'll tell the moment in the end, but it was a pretty pathetic moment, and no one else knew it was happening. It was just me, myself, and I. But I knew in that moment, okay, I really got to make a change in life. And I got to this place because pretty much up until I was about, I'd say 30, I was an athlete. I was always playing sports, basketball, football, boxing, baseball, you name it. That was my lifestyle. And I worked out pretty much every day. And like most people, you get older, you start working a little harder, you don't have the time. So I think for a few years, I found myself in this place of, if I can get to the gym 3 to 4 days a week, then I'm doing all right. I'm not completely letting myself go. I'm all right. And I was cool with that for a while. And then I hit this point in my life where I don't know what happened, but I'm sure a lot of people have experienced this. But just mentally, I could not get myself to the gym. I just couldn't do it. I didn't have the energy to do it. I didn't have the strength to do it. And I couldn't find the inspiration from anywhere to do it. Normally, I'll find it in reasons of vanity, looking at, okay, a vacation is coming up. That'll inspire me, like, you need to get in the gym.
And then those pictures on vacation, they're unforgiving.
Absolutely, right? And then sometime, if you don't get it right, like you said, for the vacation, when you come back from the vacation, you look at them pictures and you're like, all right, I got to tighten it up. I got to get some things to go.
Look, I've worked out for vacation, then been on vacation and gotten back and said, I didn't work out hard enough.
Exactly that. So usually when I go into these slumps, I try to find a way to get myself out, because I'm really big on momentum. I think that plays a huge part in your life. If you consistently go to the gym, it's never easy, but it's easier because you're in the groove of going. Same way, if you stop going, it becomes much easier to just not go. And that's where I found myself for a while. And I knew I was in it. I didn't really want to talk about it. I'm like, eventually, I'll climb out of this and I'll get back to my old self. So I started boxing again. I got into the ring, had one sparring session, and was like, yeah, that's not it.
That hurts.
That's a no for me.
That's a no for me, dog. I'm cool. I tried to play full-court basketball, sprained my ankle. I was like, that's not it either. So I guess even when I was working out, I was avoiding cardio. That's always been my problem. I hate cardio. I don't want to run. I hate treadmills. And it's very important, especially as you get older.
Yeah, and, I mean, you've got a heart thing going on also.
That's the other thing, right? So I'm at this place now where I'm like, all right, I'm getting older, and for the majority of my life, I've worked out for vanity reasons, but this is the first time where I'm genuinely like, it has to be about more than that, right? I may have kids within the next couple of years. I want to be around. I want to be able to move. I want to add years onto my life. These things are important. So I found myself pretty much praying for a moment that was going to wake me up so much that it was like, okay, now I'm actually focused. And I never thought that that moment would happen on Bert's Big Adventure, but boy, did it. And it kind of was funny how the moment happened, because leading up to it, I was watching the kids run around when we would go to certain places and we would have to go upstairs. I'm watching them go up 2-3 stairs at a time. And I'm like, wow, that I remember those days. This is such a struggle for me. But it wasn't until we had the dance party that I realized how bad it really was.
You and I had the same moment, bro.
Man, listen, of all of the things that could have pointed out the fact that I was not in good enough shape, it was the cha-cha slide.
Shut up.
I'm telling you, Abby, when that man, at first I was cool. Until you got the 5 hops this time, I was like, hey, bro. Hey, big dog.
Can we take it down a notch?
Yeah.
3 hops is fine.
I was feeling it on 3.
Can we negotiate?
Yeah, man. 5? Like, I don't even think I realized the song went up to 5 until we had to do 5 hops. And on that 5th hop, I was breathing a little hard. I was a little heavy on the 5th hop. Then he was talking about real smooth. Nothing smooth is happening after the 5th hop. And we finished the cha-cha slide, and I was legit like, I need to take a song off.
Yeah.
And the moment you got to take a song off at a kid's dance party because the cha-cha slide had you breathing a little heavy,
yeah,
I was like, it's definitely time for me to make a life change.
I walked out of that dance party, and I think I might have said the same thing to you, but it wasn't the cha-cha slide for me. It was that song where you're supposed to jump up, jump. Jump. So I'm jumping, right? And I am pouring sweat. And I'm a guy that goes to the gym, and I am especially careful about working on cardio. I do a lot of cardio. Gym cardio is very different than dance floor cardio.
Yes, it is.
So later that night, I checked my watch just to see what my heart rate went up to. And when I was on the dance floor with these kids, mostly in wheelchairs, my heart rate was at 162.
Oh, my God. We got to get y'all in a Zumba class. I mean,
Sign
y'all
up for Zumba.
It's bad, man.
The Bert Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
What's ironic about that dance party thing is I had plenty of energy and stamina to keep it going, and no kids to hang out with while I was doing it. I was spending all my cardio chasing after them, like me, hang out with me. All right, a video of Hailey Bieber is going viral after she told a fan she doesn't like it when other people put her hands on her, but it's getting taken completely out of context. This is why we all need to take a class in media literacy and not believe everything we see on the internet.
100.
So this video was going viral on X and also TikTok. It's this video of Hailey Bieber meeting some fans, and there's this clip that was taken out where it's her, a young woman that she was meeting with, and a security guard. And at some point, Hailey Bieber says, I don't like it when people put their hands on me. And that's all the people saw. People like, oh my God, Hailey Bieber is such a bee. I can't believe she would say that in front of her fans. How snobby can you be?
What, you're like supposed to be able to just walk up to her and put your hands on her, and she's supposed to be okay with that?
Well, this isn't even the context of what she was trying to comment on. So people were like, oh, she must be like making a comment about the fan touching her, essentially, is what people were getting. So then the woman that was in the video with Hailey Bieber, her name is Crystal Terrell. She got on TikTok and stitched the video to where you can like show what happened and then add your commentary to it. So Crystal gets on TikTok and is like, y'all love to take stuff out of context because that's not even remotely what happened in the video. So she's like, I obviously have the full video because this is me in said video. And she posts it to the end of her commentary. And what you can see is that Haley's meeting with all these fans and Crystal approaches her. And then like immediately a security guard gets right in between the two of them. And of course, I'm assuming puts his hands on them. And Hailey Bieber kind of shuns him away, like shoos him. He's like, bye-bye, no. And then she was so annoyed. Hailey was like, I can't believe he did that. I hate it when other people put their hands on other people. Mm. Basically saying like, he shouldn't have touched you as my fan. Like, you're not doing anything wrong. We're just here taking photos. That was so uncalled for.
Right. Mm.
So she was doing the right thing all along, but people decided to take that one little clip, take it completely out of the context of what happened just to make her look bad.
Yeah, I don't even know what to believe anymore when I'm reading them online. And when it comes to people's comments, they don't have the full context of anything. Mm-mm. And they can twist it any way they want. It's all fan fiction.
Yeah, it can be frustrating. You know, like what we do for a living. We talk all the time and people are constantly taking things you said out of context and then creating their own story with it. And I've reached this point in my life where I'm like, hey, if that's the story you got, I don't even have the energy to try to fight it.
Yeah, because you can't talk them out of it. If that's what they saw, that's what they saw.
Exactly. All right, Katy Perry might have manifested going to space when she came out with E.T. like 10 years ago, because now she's going to space as a part of an all-female mission. This is getting organized by Jeff Bezos's fiance, Lauren, where they're going to go on one of those Blue Origin flights where they like take you up and then they take you like immediately back down. Mm-hmm. I think Pete Davidson did one of these like a year ago.
Are these the ones that was controversial? Because did you really go into space or did you just get close to the line and then you turned around?
Mm-hmm. Is that the one? Yeah. Yep. And it's, in my opinion, I think it's dumb and a waste of money. But if you've got all the money in the world and you want to make a statement for the world that you're going to go up into space, like that's your prerogative as a rich person.
If it goes up high enough to where I could see Earth and I could see how round it, you know, you see those pictures sometimes from outer space looking at, I would take that for sure. I don't care how high it's going.
So Katy Perry is joining Gayle King from CBS Mornings, Jeff Bezos' fiance, Lauren, and then three other women. One's an aerospace engineer, the other is a civil rights activist, and the other is a filmmaker. So who knows what kind of inspiration Katy Perry will get from having launched herself into space.
It'll be interesting.
All right, sportscaster Pat McAfee and former NFL player Antonio Brown are getting called out for talking about an Ole Miss student getting caught up in a cheating scandal that involves her boyfriend's father. It's on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.